Have you ever pulled up a standard weather briefing, looked at that wall of text, and thought, I have no idea what half of this means? You're not alone. I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern, right here on Radio Hanger, and today we are going to sit down together and walk through a full standard briefing, section by section, top to bottom. By the end of this, you're going to know exactly what you're looking at, and more importantly, what to do with it. Shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial? They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's set up a scenario. You're planning a cross-country flight tomorrow morning. You're departing out of a Class Delta field in Central Texas. Let's say Temple, Texas, Tango Papa Lima, heading northeast to Texarkana Regional, Tango XK. That's roughly 200 nautical miles. You're flying a Cessna 172. Cruise altitude, you're thinking 5,500 feet. Departure time, 8 in the morning local. You go to 1800wxbrief.gov, which is the Leidos Flight Service website. You log in, you enter your route, your aircraft type, your altitude, your time of departure, and you request a standard briefing. A few seconds later, you get this massive block of information. So what does it all mean? Let's walk through this together, because the briefing follows a very specific order. There are 6 main sections, and they always come in the same sequence. Once you learn that sequence, you'll never feel lost again. Section 1. Adverse conditions. This is the first thing the briefing gives you, and there's a very good reason for that. If there is anything out there that could kill you, they want you to see it before you read anything else. This section includes any SIGMETs, which stands for Significant Meteorological Information, and convective SIGMETs, which are specifically about thunderstorms, severe turbulence, and tornadoes. It also includes any ARMETs, which stands for Airman's Meteorological Information. Those cover moderate turbulence, moderate icing, sustained winds of 30 knots or more, mountain obscuration, and widespread low ceilings or visibility. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. If the adverse conditions section is empty, that's great news. But if it's populated, that does not automatically mean you can't fly. It means you need to pay very close attention to what follows and decide whether you have the skills, the equipment, and the margins to deal with what's out there. A Sierra AirMet for mountain obscuration over the Rockies does not affect your flight from Temple to Texarkana. Context matters. Now, on our example flight, let's say the adverse condition section shows a Tango AirMet for moderate turbulence below 8,000 feet across the southern plains. That's relevant. You're flying at 5,500. You file that away and keep reading. Section 2. VFR flight not recommended. This is where a lot of student pilots get confused if you see the letters VFR flight not recommended. That is not a regulation, that is not a prohibition. It is the briefer's professional opinion that the weather conditions along your route are marginal enough that VFR flight would be risky. You can still go, but think very carefully about why a professional weather briefer is telling you to reconsider. In our scenario, let's say this section is clear, no VFR flight not recommended advisories. Good, let's keep going. Section 3, synopsis. This is the big picture. Think of it as the weather story for the region. It might say something like, a stationary front extends from east-central Oklahoma southwestward into the Texas Panhandle, with a high-pressure system building from the southeast. This is the meteorological narrative. It tells you why the weather is doing what it's doing. Pay attention to fronts. Pay attention to low-pressure systems, and most importantly, pay attention to how they are moving. A stationary front sitting on your route is a very different problem than a cold front that passed through yesterday and is now 300 miles east of you. The synopsis gives you the context that makes all the other sections make sense. For our flight, let's say the synopsis shows high pressure dominating central and east Texas with a weak cold front approaching from the northwest, expected to reach the Dallas-Fort Worth area by late afternoon. That tells us our morning departure should be fine. But if we delay until afternoon, things could change. That's useful decision-making information right there. Section 4. Current conditions. This is where you get the METARs, the meteorological aerodrome reports, for airports along your route and at your destination. This section gives you a snapshot of what the weather is doing right now. Let's say Temple is reporting clear skies, visibility 10 miles, wind from the south at 8 knots, temperature 22 Celsius, dew point 12. That's beautiful VFR weather. The spread between temperature and dew point is 10 degrees, so fog is not an immediate concern. Texarkana is reporting few clouds at 4,500. Visibility 10 miles, wind calm. Also fine, but notice those clouds at 4,500. You're planning to cruise at 5,500. You'll be above them, but keep an eye on that trend. Here's a practical tip. Don't just look at your departure and destination METARs. Look at the stations in between. If 3 airports along your route are reporting similar conditions, but one in the middle is significantly different, that's a clue. Something localized is happening there, and you need to understand what it is before you fly through it. Section 5, Forecast Conditions. Now we're looking at the TAFs, the Terminal Aerodrome Forecasts. These typically cover a 24 to 30 hour period and tell you what the weather is expected to do. This is where the briefing gets really powerful because you're comparing what's happening now with what's expected to happen during your flight. If the current conditions are gorgeous but the TAF shows a tempo group calling for ceilings dropping to broken at 2000 and visibility dropping to 3 miles in mist starting at noon, that changes your plan. Maybe you depart earlier, maybe you plan to arrive before those conditions develop, maybe you pick an alternate that's not affected. In our scenario, let's say the Texarkana TAF shows conditions staying VFR through the morning, with ceilings dropping to broken at 3,000 feet after 1800 Zulu, which is 1 in the afternoon local. Your flight should land well before that. But what if you have a mechanical delay? What if you can't depart until 10? Now you're cutting it closer. That TAF just helped you build a decision tree without even leaving the ground. And while we're talking about forecasts, this is a good time to mention the winds and temperatures aloft forecast. This section tells you the wind direction and speed at various altitudes. For our flight at 5,500, you might see the winds at 6,000 feet are from the south-southwest at 15 knots. That's a quartering tailwind headed northeast. Good news for your fuel burn and your time en route. But if those winds were from the north at 30 knots, you'd be looking at a significant headwind, and your fuel calculations change entirely. Always work the winds into your planning. Section 6. NOTAMs, Notices to Air Missions. This is the section that everyone is tempted to skim, and I get it. NOTAMs can be dense and full of abbreviations, but buried in that wall of text might be a temporary flight restriction along your route, a VOR out of service that you were planning to use for navigation, or a runway closure at your destination. Here's my advice. Don't try to read every single NOTAM for every airport within 100 miles. Focus on three things: NOTAMs for your departure airport, NOTAMs for your destination airport, and temporary flight restrictions, or TFRs, along your route. If you're using any ground-based NAVAIDS, check those too. Everything else is secondary. For our flight, let's say there's a NOTAM that the VOR at Waco is out of service. If you're navigating primarily by GPS, that might not matter, but if the VOR was part of your backup plan, now you need to adjust. Let's also say there's a NOTAM for parachute jumping operations at a small field 30 miles southeast of your route. Good to know. It's not directly in your path, but awareness keeps you safe. Now, here's the part that ties this whole thing together, and this is what separates a pilot who reads a briefing from a pilot who uses a briefing. After you've gone through all six sections, you need to sit back and ask yourself three questions. Question 1. Can I legally make this flight? Check the weather against VFR minimums, cloud clearance, visibility, airspace requirements if you're instrument rated and filing IFR, check the approach minimums at your destination and your alternate. Question 2. Can I safely make this flight? This is where personal minimums come in. The Airman Certification Standards for Private Pilot talk about risk management and aeronautical decision-making for a reason. Legal does not always mean smart. If you're a 60-hour student pilot and the ARMET says moderate turbulence below 8,000 feet, maybe today is not the day. There's no shame in that. There is only wisdom. Question 3. What's my out? Every good flight plan has escape routes built in. If the weather at Texarkana deteriorates faster than the TAF predicted, where are you going instead? When do you make that decision? Before you take off, pick a point along the route where you'll reassess, and know your alternates. I want to mention one more thing about weather briefings that I think gets overlooked. The briefing is not a one-time event. You check the weather the night before to start building a picture. You check it again in the morning for updates. You check it one more time right before you go to the airport. And once you're in the air, you keep gathering information. Listen to ATIS at airports you're passing near, monitor the flight service frequency. If you have Datalink weather in the cockpit, use it. But remember that Datalink weather can be 15 to 20 minutes old. It's strategic information, not tactical. The ACS for the private pilot check ride expects you to obtain and analyze weather information from multiple sources. The examiner is looking for more than just the ability to read a METAR. They want to see that you can pull together the synopsis, the current conditions, the forecasts, and the NOTAMs into a coherent go or no-go decision. They want to see your thought process. That's what a weather briefing really is. It's not a checklist to complete. It's a conversation between you and the atmosphere. One last thing. If you've only ever used apps and websites for your weather briefings, try calling Leto's flight service at least once. The number is 1-800-WHISKEY-X-RAY-BRAVO or 1-800-992-7433. Talk to a real briefer. Tell them your route and your experience level. They will walk you through it and often point out things the automated briefing doesn't emphasize. It's a free service. It's paid for by your fuel taxes. Use it. That does it for today. This walkthrough leans heavily on the FAA's Aviation Weather Services Advisory Circular AC00-45 and the Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge Chapters on Weather. Both are free on the FAA's website. I'm Pattern. This has been Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Next time you pull up that briefing on 1800wxbrief.gov, you'll know exactly what you're reading. Go fly safe.